Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Guys, it was Sam's birthday.
Hey.
Just a couple days ago.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Yeah. To celebrate, we're going to give a rousing rendition of Happy Birthday. I hope that's all right.
Oh, God.
I'll take that
Derek,
as a yes. And
Derek
a one,
it.
And a two, and a three, and... And welcome to another celebratory episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, where there's no rule that says a dog can't play basketball. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. Yes! Yes!
You like that one, huh?
I did.
It's true. There's no rule. None.
Airbud 2024.
Mm-hmm.
How's everybody doing this week?
I'm doing perfectly fine. Perfectly good.
How was your birthday, by the way?
It was good. Nice and low key. My boyfriend made me a key lime pie.
Ooh.
Yeah. The thing is, he made it after I had gone to sleep because he wanted to have it as a surprise for me. And I, like a child, insisted on staying up until midnight on my birthday. So he was up until 3 a.m. making key lime pie.
Oh, goodness.
Like, squeezing the key limes and like making the meringue. Like
that's dedication.
That it really is. It really, really is. Shout out to my boyfriend Steve, friend of the show, and thank you for making a pie large enough that we have leftovers for the next couple days.
Bring it over here. Bring it over here.
Nope. All mine.
Bring it over here.
Nope.
All right. I'm gonna text Steve to have him bring it over while you run off our socials.
No. Well, fine. Follow us at follow us on Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA to get all of our wonderful little bits and tidbits of information and quizzery and goofery and all that good stuff, and maybe even a pie recipe if you ask nicely enough. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to reach out to us directly, or just check out our website at 12pointsfromamerica.com. If you want to support us, feel free to scope out our Redbubble for all sorts of fantabulous merchandise with our logos and our inside jokes of episodes past. We'd love to have you check that out as well. All right, I'm going to run upstairs and make sure that my boyfriend hasn't left with the leftover pie. Excuse me.
Bye, Sam.
Okay, I'm back. He's fine. It's fine. Pie is still in the fridge.
I think it's sort of becoming tradition. We're just starting with the burning question.
I like the burning questions.
Let's burn some questions.
Yeah.
Feel the burn of the question.
But put on your mittens.
That's right. This question comes from me. I put this one in there a while ago, and Sam picked it out. So it kind of comes from Sam as well. What is your favorite specific part of a Eurovision song? So like... one individual snippet of a song, like the drum fill from In the Air Tonight or something like that. What is that little moment of a Eurovision song for you that you just grab onto and are just like, it's great.
The chef's kiss moment of Eurovision songs.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Sam, you have a bigger repository. No. All right, fine. It's not even a Eurovision song technically, but it's Siren Song. It's just that first time when she goes bang. And the brass riff after it.
I do know.
It's why I'm gunning for Blossom Muffin to win Melody Grand Prix. I'm a sucker for a nice chunky brass riff. That's all I live for.
You say chunky brass riff. I was going to say farty trumpet, but yeah. Chunky and
six
farty.
And
that's
one,
how you
half
like
a dozen.
It. That's how you like it, Danny. Chunky and farty.
I like a chunky farty brass. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right, Sam, how about you?
For me, I think back to one of my favorite ESC songs of all time, Italy 2011, Madness of Love by Rafael Gualazzi. There's this one part where he ends the chorus by kind of this sort of screechy, jazzy high note that flows right into a muted trumpet in the instrumental. And it's kind of hard to tell where his voice ends and the muted trumpet begins. And I always love that moment. Because it's so hard to get something like that right in a normal gig, but to do it when the muted trumpet's not live, it still felt like such a cool sonic moment for me. And just the sort of the entire vibe of that song is the man is one with the music. And he was sort of, you know, it's all about the jazz, you know that. And so it felt very, very organic in a really, really cool way. So that moment I think is probably after the first or second chorus of Madness of Love, where he just goes from, yeah, right into this muted trumpet. I love that moment.
Derek?
I'll go back to my favorite Eurovision song and say the moment about 50 seconds into Love Wave, when it sounds like an engine is revving up and it completely changes. Because up to that, I remember the first time I listened to it, up to that point, it was kind of slow and she was sort of whispering, and then it just cranks up and becomes a completely different song. And every time it happens, I'm just like, ooh,
there it is. Let's go. Here we go.
Let's do this.
Dogs playing basketball. Let's do this. Yeah.
I'm feeling Derek was really big into EDM in 2011.
No.
No?
Not that he would publicly admit anyway.
That's, who would?
Yeah. I shortlisted a couple of things for this. Some more obscure than others. The entire ending of Midnight Gold.
Oh, yes.
Where it just kind of goes crazy. We've got similarly in terms of the point in the song, not similar in any other way, but the final chorus of A Monster Like Me is just so devastating and all of that felt like an option. Another one I consider, a more upbeat one I considered, is there's a bridge with like a Daft Punk vocal-esque thing in Dance You Off that I just love the sound of. That's really, really cool. But honestly, the one for me, it's actually also from Love Wave. It's the high note at the end.
Mm.
There have only been a couple of instances where when I hear one of these songs for the first time, I just gasped. Just like, holy crap. That is so well done. That is so cool. Whatever. And honestly, that song had me from the get-go. That buildup that Derek mentioned is incredible. But it culminates in that note. And my goodness.
Mm.
So, so, so good.
Can I give an honorable mention as well?
As long as it's from Love Wave.
From Love Injected, is that
I will allow it.
Okay, all right. This kind of may have been a you had to be there kind of a thing, but listening to Love Wave in the hall in rehearsal, and you have this tiny little Aminata Savadogo, this diminutive little Latvian, in the sort of delicate beginning of the verses, and then the moment that the chorus kicks in and the bass just goes wham. It was like getting hit by a Mack truck, and she just unleashes that powerful vocal, and the lights change, and you just feel the bass just reverberating through your chest and knocking you back like a foot and a half. That moment's up there for me too.
I wish I could go back and relive the first time I heard that, because you're really not expecting that at the start of that song, and oh, it's so cool. That song's fantastic. Comedy option is when Ilinsa doubles the speed of her yodeling.
Turbo yodel!
I still don't hate that song. I'm sorry.
We should have a comedy option for every single one of these burning questions.
Really,
the time we do.
Let's be real, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other rapid fire ones that come to mind for anyone?
Just going to say the cheeky beauty of, okay, happy end. Just that ding.
When Scarlett at the end of Monster Like Me says the line instead of him, and the camera comes around to her. I think that's a really great moment.
Oh, yeah.
The other one was, okay, gotta go, 3 good minutes, goodbye.
Another one, this is more of like a visual narrative bit. The single tear rolling down Alina Bourne's cheek at the end of her duet with Stig, at the end of Goodbye to Yesterday. That, like, we were in the hall watching the finals, and I could just see her eyes beginning to glass over. And I'm like, oh my God, she's going to cry. Girl is going to pull a tear. And like watching the single tear roll down her cheek, it's the weirdest moment, because in the press room, people were cheering for that. I'm like, we're cheering for a woman's tear.
Cry, cry, cry.
Yes.
But it was such an amazing moment.
You think that tear gained them a couple of places in the standings?
Oh, most definitely.
On its own, that one tear
on its own
would have finished like 19th.
Yeah, the tier itself is on the left hand of the table.
Yeah. So nobody went with the Lotus Sutra and Cleopatra.
No. Nobody. That song is.
No one said I am a composer.
No. Answers only.
Okay.
Okay. One more quick one.
Yes.
Nobody saw this, but it was during the dress rehearsal. I think it was Semi-1 in 2016, and Dawa Bob was doing his song, and he gets to the 10-second break near the end. And the whole room goes silent, and he's just staring right at the camera. And then he turns to somebody at us and goes, I love you too, baby. And the song kicks in again. And he didn't do that ever again.
I remember. That was great.
Excuse me? What was this?
Oh, yeah. 2016, Dawa Bob for the Netherlands. He had a moment where he put in like a 10-second pause of absolute silence.
And that is not like on like the single version or anything.
No, it's not on the single version.
Okay.
It was
the
just
song
a,
is 10 seconds short.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But he just had it. this blank expanse of space and was just going to kind of wing it.
She always pays off.
It kind of did.
It worked for him. Yeah. He did something different every time.
I see.
Yeah. This is a fun one.
I like this. Yes.
Yeah. You listening at home, let us know what is your In the Air Tonight drum fill moment for a Eurovision song. Like, what is that moment that just crystallized in your memory? Again, let us know on either Facebook or Twitter, 12pointsUSA. We would love to hear from you. We may even mention it in a future episode. And if you ever have any other questions that you'd like us to answer, ask away. We'd love to hear them. So 12pointsUSA on Twitter or Facebook. Shall we roll into news, gentlemen?
Let's roll in, yes.
I think we should.
All right.
Roll away.
Well, Eric, you found a little tidbit of Eurovision-related news for another reality performance show that I happen to be a fan of, but I didn't know that you were.
A bit. Not to the degree that you are, I don't think. I didn't name my cat after anything.
You know what? Evie Podley is a joy, and and we love to have her. So, yes.
So, apparently, an upcoming episode of the UK edition of RuPaul's Drag Race is going to have a Eurovision-themed episode.
About time.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it's only the second series, but yeah.
It's a shame that nobody from The Roop dresses too outlandishly so that it could be RuPaul Drag Race.
Ooh.
I know
ooh.
Someone's probably going to do it anyway, and they'll go home, but...
Oh, man.
What a way to go, though.
I know. Yeah, I went out on the best pun I could do.
Somebody needs to reach out to The Roop and see if they could do something with this. Like,
What if The Roop is just like the guest judges?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how Lithuania's Drag Race is doing.
Yes.
No, I mean, between last year and me saying to the universe that they should come out with, you know, Lithuanian branded Roop waffles in honor of the Netherlands. To doing a, you know, a Roop All's Drag Race spinoff. Like, seriously, these guys are just marketing gold.
They chose the right syllable to name everything after, you know?
Yeah. You know, they could have had a duet with that that Czech band from last year, We All Roop.
All the blood.
We All Roop, All the Blood, yes. I mean, it should be noted, this isn't the first little bit of referencing and crossover that I've seen from Drag Race. I know that in Drag Race Canada last series, they had a Night of a Thousand Celines as their runway theme. And Rita Baga, not to be confused with Bag of Chips, but Rita Baga, who is a queen from Montreal, went down the runway as Celine at Eurovision. Like the frizzy hair, the sort of semi-tuxedo, semi-tutu look. And when I saw that, I was dying because I don't know how many people got that reference, but I'm like, oh my God, she went early. And it should also be noted that this series of Drag Race US, there's a drag queen from here in Minneapolis, actually, named Utica, who is fabulous and quirky and wonderful. And one of the looks that she was highlighting on her Instagram recently was this gorgeous sort of patchwork doll look, but it was inspired, according to her, by Undo by Sanna Nielsen. And she's done performances in this big, gorgeous patchwork piece to Undo. You can find this on YouTube.
Undo? Meaning,
you know, as
of all the things?
Of all the things. She does a lip sync to Undo as a doll who has to rip herself apart in order to become free. It's really kind of evocative and really beautiful. So yeah, if you have the chance to, anyway, I am definitely looking forward to this episode of Drag Race UK.
Do we know, and I realize I'm the one that put this down, so I should know, but I don't. Do we know when this is going to air?
I think they said this was episode 5, and as of right now, I think they're only on episode maybe 3 at time of our recording. So it'll be in a couple of weeks yet.
Within the month.
Yeah. So shall we roll on to actual Eurovision news rather than just Eurovision related?
This is actual Eurovision news.
Yeah.
It's tell the you UK, what, actually. Let's, so.
Oh. let's stick with the theme of frizzy hair for a moment and talk about...
Go on.
About Norway and talk about Rayleigh. winning, running away. I mean, I guess we don't know exactly.
I'm so glad. Yeah, you know, last week I was like, you know, I'm really gunning for it. This one is, you know, my pick, and I'm glad to see that the voting audiences at home agreed. Glad to be the tastemaker for Eurovision at last.
What?
Are you the tastemaker here, or is
I am? It's me.
Oh. Well, tell us more about the taste you have made, sir.
Yes.
Rayleigh is great.
Okay.
Hero is great.
I have That's to all. Agree. I mean, and like they didn't exactly stack the deck against her by any means. Honestly, I think that the best song she was up against was the one in the first round that was more of a sweet ballad sort of thing. It was honestly really, really nice. And I think I tweeted at the time, I quite like this, and it's a shame how badly this is going to get trounced, which it ostensibly did, because Rayleigh came to play. I mean,
was it Nordlyset?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nord.
That's right.
Nordlyset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Nice Nordlyset. That was good. Check that one out. It had a really cool staging bit to it as well. Kind of outdoorsy, peaceful, tranquility sort of vibe. It was nice.
Well, keep in mind, none of the songs that haven't qualified like Rayleigh has with Hero, those songs aren't necessarily out of the woods yet. They could potentially, one song will get plucked from the discarded bin and will have a second chance and make it to the final. So that will be, I believe, on Monday post-Valentine's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's correct.
Single show. I think we talked about this last week, but yeah, mm-hmm. So it could come back.
Yeah, fingers crossed for it, because it really was a nice song. It would be a great addition to the final, I'm sure. Mm. Now, Rayleigh, our old pal Rayleigh, really went all in on the 80s vibes that we talked about last week. I mean, beyond all in. we had the frizzy hair. We had the I don't even know how to describe the outfit besides 80s AF.
Ow, my eyes.
Okay, the color scheme, just everything. It was so perfectly encapsulating of an 80s sort of feel. Up to the big payoff, the moment that a red 80s style guitar solo starts towards the end of the song. She does the Flashdance water on the chair thing. Like, just straight up rips that off.
How could I have forgotten?
And how could you have forgotten? My goodness. And I remember, like, seeing the chair and thinking, she's not just going to straight up do it, is she? And then she did. And I was like, this is pretty great.
I just enjoyed the fact that we would see pictures of her after this, like with her hair up in the towel and like in the full on bathrobe and everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's commitment right there. That's because you have to do this like twice today. And you knew for a fact when you're doing that, you were going to have to do this multiple times. So good on you for committing.
It was just a really great performance on top of everything else. Her vocals sounded good. The song, just honestly, with respect to Kano and the angel guy who sucks, I've already forgotten his name. Yeah, Tix.
Like Twix, this, without the W.
This is going to be up there, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's so much fun.
I hope so. My thing is, from this, is it called a semifinal? Or it's a heat, isn't it? From this heat?
From because, Melody Grand Prix? No, it's a semifinal.
Yeah, well, there's like a third round after this, isn't there?
Yeah.
The other one that advanced from this one, I think it's called Psycho, is, I am sorry to say, a song that I enjoy.
It didn't advance, though. It was only Rayleigh.
It went up against
Rayleigh at the end.
Yes, exactly. The one that was up against her. It's a. That's what I meant. It's a shame because I like that song too. It's like having to choose between my children. I do have to say though, Daniel Owen, who performed Psycho, I was like, is this Junior Eurovision? He's very young, and I had to look him up. He's like just 21 years old.
Gross. Lousy youths. It's not cool.
Youths.
Not cool.
Youths.
This next weekend, we have semifinal number 3 in Norway. 4 new acts to fawn over and consider. We've got, I don't know, I'm not as big on this crop as the last couple, I don't think.
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to listen to this crop quite yet, but the fact that there's no major surprises, like the fact that we've got, like, we had Rayleigh this past week, and Kiro Stokan, whose life is evidently not as okay as we thought it was.
Oh, that guy. Oh,
yeah,
what
was your thought on that, Eric?
It was not okay. It was worse than okay. I was not a fan. It's so weird. There's a line in there that was like, some people say my music's bad. And I was like, I bet.
You don't say.
Yeah. I always enjoy seeing something different. Always. So it was interesting to see in that extent, but I did not like it one bit.
Oh, all right. So the other semifinal, or not semifinal, I guess you could say for Lithuania that they're not necessarily doing semifinals. At this point, they are just doing heats. So we have Lithuania, Panda Bomb.
This is one that I'm not paying close attention to, except for when I hear news that, you know, Tusim is being eliminated. Mm-hmm. What happened this week?
Well, there was another heat. Honestly, I think everything that happened in the heat kind of fell away just by the fact that this was the week that the Roop released and performed their song for this year's national final.
Sure.
Because they don't have to go through the semis. They get a fast pass to the final.
They go right to it. Yep.
Yeah. So they unleashed Discotheque. I have my opinions on it. I don't know who out of this group of four of us have listened to Discotheque.
I have not. Paint me a word picture.
Roopy.
It's very Roopy.
It's very Roopy.
It's very Roopy.
This is very much like On Fire. Is it more upbeat or less?
More.
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 It's. Okay. I mean, it's more of a dance track, as you would expect from a song called Discotheque. A lot of syncopation in the vocals, which is kind of fun. There is a new dance. There's a new Roop dance. It does incorporate the moose head a little bit.
Okay.
But it's sort of self-referential moose head.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Which normally I don't like the self-referential stuff, but this is sort of mocking it a little bit. It's like, yeah.
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 I think this is almost certainly going to run away with Panda Bomb is now yo, or whatever we're calling it. Cardamom is now, or I really liked this when I first heard it, and after seeing it performed, I liked it even more. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it at this point.
I kind of feel bad for the other entries that were in this heat this past week, because they were kind of overshadowed. They didn't even have Tusim to distract me. I was all Roop all the time.
There were a few solid tunes in this one, I thought. I thought on average this was a better crop, besides Tusim, obviously, than the first heat. We had Gebrasi's Where'd You Wanna Go, which I believe was the winner of the heat.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Like Voldemort Peterson from last week, this is another sad boy sort of song. I think this is a way better song than Voldemort's, though.
I have this strange feeling. I will say that as we have talked about those songs that are arriving and that we are working towards this year's Eurovision for, it feels like we got a lot of bops, a lot of upbeat, a lot of leaving last year behind. Am I wrong in noticing that this is like the first sort of contender as we're moving towards Lithuania's final, that they... We're not getting a lot of sad songs. I'm not hearing them even when we're briefly looking at these national finals.
There's a decent smattering. I mean, at this point, we only have two songs that are officially going. And we'll talk about Israel in just a moment or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling there's still going to be a decent amount of sad boyage coming in. And I guess we'll talk about Finland in a little bit. We actually also spoke about Finland last week, that there was some definite emotion coming in as well from the likes of last year's representative acts.
We haven't heard what Jasong Gajan's Tears is going to send.
That's very true.
That's true.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be a very interesting mix, because at the end of the day, the world's kind of depressed still.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, we know.
Oh, yes. Oh, it doesn't. It's going to be interesting to see how many people are getting their influences from just the general of last year. How many people are going to be taking cues from the last winner of Eurovision, which was also Sad Boy. And then how many people are going to consciously try to break out of that?
Like Jimagine.
She imagined.
Yeah.
She did. And she won.
Yeah.
Is there anything left to discuss about Lithuania here?
We had an actual semifinal on Saturday.
The lists.
Yeah. And then their full-on grand final. We will have the ultimate winner on February 6th. So yeah,
they're coming up.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
It's the end of January already. We're going to have a lot of these boys within the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sam, you mentioned we have our second song officially in the Eurovision lineup, and it is from Israel.
Indeed it is.
They have chosen Set Me Free
Oh.
by Edna Lenny. I mean, we knew it was going to be Edna Lenny.
Yeah.
But they picked Set Me Free from a short list of three possible songs.
Let me clarify. That is a sigh of, I won't say relief, but that's part of it. I really like this song, and I'm very optimistic about its chances. It's got it all. And by it all, I mean all of the Eurovision tropes for a bop.
It has a key change, y'all.
It has a key change. Mm-hmm. It's got that key change.
Like Vislat Njar.
And that might be the only time we ever hear Vislat Njar and Set Me Free compared to each other.
This might be one of those situations that we made fun of IQ for, which is the, wow, three songs for price of one. But in this case, I will acknowledge that this song feels a little bit disjointed as it moves from its verse to pre-chorus to chorus to chorus 2 to chorus 3.0, apparently. But unfortunately, its energy is crazy good. I really like this.
Her energy is crazy good. Like, I have a feeling that Eden is the kind of performer that if you had given her, you know, a page from the phone book, she would have performed the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Set Me Free is, it's an upbeat, energetic, uplifting message. Yeah, she'll be fine with this. I'm kind of missing the linguistic diversity that we had with Fekir Libi last year.
Oh, that's true.
But it didn't seem like any of the songs really kind of honed in on her Amharic roots for this year anyway. But it looks like there's also a lot of time that the production company, the broadcaster Khan, if they wanted to, they can still play around with this a little bit too. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this continues to grow and develop and what the eventual staging is, because I think this has some decent potential.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like as a song, this has been very produced.
Yeah.
I think the way we heard it is probably going to be what the final iteration is going to be like.
Do you think that when a country selects its song relatively early, like Israel has, do you think that they might listen to
other songs?
Either other songs or reactions from the press and from the community? Do you think that would be, if you were a member of a delegation and you were selecting your song now, would you stick to your guns and say, you know what, I'm not going to second guess myself? Or would you actively try to listen to the fans and the viewers?
Would you Benny Christo it?
Oh,
that's a rabbit hole. I mean, if you're a music professional, I think you have to have some confidence in your product. I mean, you could tweak it a bit, but I think in the end, if you're constantly trying to appease the fans, especially the loudest fans, it's just going to be a mess. The Benny Christo effect.
Yes, but for every Benny Christo, you have a Disco Serhat.
Hmm.
You know, I love my Disco Serhat.
No, you don't.
I mean,
I love that it exists.
One of the questions I had was, this song seems so different than last year's. You know, a lot of the cultural stuff is gone. It's a lot more flashy and upbeat. I'm wondering if this is a reaction to what people were saying about last year's song, and if they're trying to do something more viable for the contest, play a little bit more safe even.
Well, if that's what they went for, that they hit it on the bullseye. This is definitely a marketable song. This will be very popular.
You know, it's weird. Last week we kind of praised Axel from Finland for doing the new song Hurt. That was more personal and more emotional and less generic. The way Looking Back was, I think what I said was anybody could have done Looking Back, but he's really the only person who could have done Hurt. I kind of feel the opposite is true between Fekir Libi and Set Me Free, but this just comes down to personal taste. I kind of like Set Me Free more. I think Fekir Libi never really stuck with me. I never really quite got it. And so I don't know. I guess different situations call for different things, but this feels like a bit of a glow up.
It was definitely a song that I think I respected it more than I liked it.
Yeah, I think I was going to say that. Yeah, it's a song to appreciate.
Fekir Libi, you mean?
Yeah.
Or Set Me Free.
Yeah, Fekir Libi.
Mm. I mean, Set Me Free is just, it's what do you go to Eurovision and expect to see? I don't know if that's going to help it necessarily more. If there's a lot of like kind of generic pop songs, it might get lost in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what comes up when we get the songs from Stefania and from Cyprus, Elena Segrino, who we know that the song El Diablo will be coming out at the end of February, or from Effendi, or other sort of singers, like pop singers of that general oeuvre, that general niche. So it'll be interesting to see who comes to play. Because again, this is only our second song.
For those who haven't seen it yet amongst our listeners, basically imagine if instead of Fekir Libby, she basically just decided to adopt Senit's persona and do a pop song.
Ooh.
I mean, I think it would help the song a lot if they did the last chorus in Amharic or something. If they just added some cultural flair to it.
That was the strength of Fekir Libby.
Yeah. I mean, like Eric said, it feels like this could have come from anywhere. There's nothing culturally significant going on.
And me, just as a language junkie and like a linguistics nerd, like I just want, I want all of the languages just to pop up.
Yeah.
And especially when somebody like Eden comes to the show and has a very interesting point of view and an interesting backstory. I like seeing that being embraced, but you know, just the fact that she's representing Israel at all is amazing and very, very cool to see, but we shall see. All right, what country shall we go to next now that we've talked about Israel?
Oh, we were mentioning Natalia, so...
Yeah, well, yeah, we are now. Yeah, Moldova has officially announced that, yeah, Natalia will be singing for Moldova officially. There were some rumors going around. You kind of alluded to it on social media, but it is official that...
Welcome back.
Yeah.
From prison! Natalia...
Where'd that teardrop tattoo come from?
Yeah.
Yeah, she...
From Goodbye to Yesterday.
I was going to say, it's the one that it's the one that's going to get her 20 points.
That's
oh,
right.
Man. Yep.
Not as evocative when it's just there.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So Natalia Gordienko will officially come back for her second official performance on a Eurovision stage in 2021.
Awesome.
Yep.
I hope she gets a better song this time.
Yes.
Prison was... Prison had parts that were really cool, and then parts that were just kind of,
yeah.
I don't know, it didn't really come together.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
I still like it.
Is Kirkrav going to produce it anywhere?
Maybe it's very possible. The Dream Team might be hovering around Natalia again. It's the Dream Team; they pop up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Even though we actually just got word that sort of the head of the Dream Team, Philip Kirkrav, has been banned from Lithuania for 5 years.
What?
Yeah. Any guesses, guys, as to why?
Was
he shot a man in Riga just to watch him die?
I'm going to say he made counterfeit jeans out of his car hole.
Out of his cars?
Oh, man.
Am I close?
It's counterfeit cars, jeans, arena.
jokes.
No, unfortunately, it's not quite as exciting as that. Even though I would kill for a pair of Kirkorov blacklisted jeans.
Yes.
No, it's he basically was supporting Moscow's policies in Crimea, and the Migration Department of Lithuania, acting on a request from the Foreign Ministry, added him to a national blacklist of foreigners banned from coming to Lithuania.
Wow.
Yeah, which is kind of a pisher because he was scheduled to have concerts in Vilnius and Klaipeda in June. So contact your local ticketing office for a refund on those.
I can't imagine they would have gone out of their way to ban him if they didn't know he was coming. But hey, good on him, I guess. That's,
I mean, it would have been really awkward if the Roop, for example, had been writing their song with the Dream Team. Like, would they have had to meet up in Belarus or something like that? They wouldn't, but maybe another artist would have.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a hotly contested issue in that part of the world.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
Who's next?
So, let's see. We've got a couple of songs trickling through. Artists who are submitting songs for Belarus. We don't really quite know what the selection process is going to be over there. It seems like they are scrapping their lovable, traditional, live internet audition, which has given us such incredible moments as...
Akabulba.
Yep. Potato Akabulba.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had a couple songs coming out, including one by Daz Sampson, who represented the UK back in That would have been 2006, I want to say. And he's tried for Belarus before, as recently as 2019 with the song Kinky Boots. So keep your ears out for Daz if you're looking at Belarus. Who knows whether they will continue on with him or not. But yes, things are beginning to pop up over there.
Essentially, one of these could be Belarus's song, but we really have no idea.
We have no clue.
But we know that they are officially in the running, is basically all we know.
Much like most of the voting over in Belarus, we know who's on the ballot, but it's going to be up for grabs.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dearie, dearie, dearie.
We're going to get on a list now. That'll be fun.
I also am not allowed in Lithuania.
Yeah.
I Lithuania would like you.
They would, actually.
No, yeah, I think...
Not the way that you've been talking smack about Tucson, buddy.
Eh.
I mean, I feel like Lithuania wasn't...
out of the tournament, they also hate Tucson.
Yeah,
Lithuania doesn't like Tucson.
That's, yeah. If Lithuania was high on Tucson, they'd still be in the running. And they're not. Ugh.
So Civil screw them.
No. Boo. Boo. All right. We've got a couple other countries to talk about really quick. Let's start with Portugal. Portugal has released their songs. There are 20 in total.
Mm-hmm.
They are extremely Portuguese.
Oh, yes.
Really, they've Portugaled all over the place as they usually have. I have thoughts on a few that I really, really liked. But in my first listen through, I came across one that I thought, oh, man, Sam is going to love this. And you can't see this if you're listening to the show, but I have a sheet of paper here. I have written down on the back of a State Farm insurance statement, like a good neighbor, the name of the song I think Sam is happiest about. In Portugal is Now Yo. What is it? Oh, Festival de Canção. I knew that.
Portugal is Now Yo.
That's right. I knew that. So we'll see if I'm right. I'm probably wrong.
I'm excited.
But I have a hunch.
All Sam. Right, Sam.
All right, well, I've got three. I'm a sucker for when Portugal goes full bricking on Portuguese, like turning the Portuguese up to Onze and just blasting it out of the water. So the first one is probably the most traditional fado of the entire group, like the warble of the voice, the heart-rending emotions. And so my first pick is by Valeria. It's called Na Mais Profunda Saudade, the most profound longing. So that is one of the
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Portugal?
I love fado. And I know this is exactly like the most fado-y fado that I can ever fado.
This is a lesson I ought to have learned by now. San Marino gonna San Marino and Portugal gotta Portugal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But like this is like extremely Portuguese,
this
even
is
by
Festival and South
standards.
I love it.
Yeah. This is just like taking the contrast on an old school CRT TV and just cranking the contrast up to 20,000 so your eyes kind of melt a little bit. Like, that's how vibrantly Portuguese the song is. But it is gorgeous, and I was listening to it in the office this morning, and I was on the verge of tears. The fact that Eric is completely stone-faced right now is making me think that that is not the song that he picked for me.
It is not.
The other two that I liked that are a lot more modern but still very Portuguese were Claro Como Água by Mema and A Vida Sem Acontecer by Graciela. So those are my two favorite more modern ones. But there were a number of other really good ones. Those are my three. Eric, did you hit the nail on the head? How well do you actually think you know me?
I did not hit the nail on the head.
Oh! All right, so what did you think was mine?
I said, Love is on My Side by the Black Mamba.
That would probably be in, not my top three, but certainly like my top like six. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
I'll take it. It's basically the same as being right.
You're redeemed.
So I guess in that case, I will start with that one. Love is on My Side. I get Make Makes vibes from it.
But we know how well that turned out for the
No, I know. I'm aware of that. But I also know how well it should have done, which was more than 0 points. At
true.
Least.
Very true.
It's the same sort of rock band, piano, guy with a great voice. It's a dynamite song. It's definitely my favorite of the bunch out of Portugal this year. I am not as big of a fan of Fado as Sam is, but
few are.
I thought this was dynamite, and honestly, my reaction was like, "This sounds like I Am Yours." Sam is going to love this.
I did like it a lot.
That is where That is where I was coming from there. I really like that one.
It's one of only, I think, three songs that are primarily in English, though.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these songs are fully in Portuguese, or Portuguese with a small smattering of English.
Good.
So that could also be very catching for you.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of what I like about it. It just feels a little more accessible. Some of the Portuguese stuff, while I can appreciate and find pleasant, is just a bit hard to kind of get into for me. And maybe I need more time with Portuguese music to get there. This one is not as Portuguese, as like painfully Portuguese as some of these other ones are. So keep that in mind if and when you check it out. A couple others I wrote down, Jan's Mundo, which is like half very sweet and half very weird. Miguel Marrocos, it reminds me of Belle and Sebastian.
I'd like that one too.
And I have a feeling this one's not going to be super popular, but I'm telling you that sort of sound, the Belle and Sebastian type thing, I don't think I've ever heard in a Eurovision song before, and it's really nicely done.
It should also be noted with Miguel Marroco that most of the songs, or most of the composers that are in Festival de Canção, were specifically invited by RTP to take part. I believe Miguel Marroco was one of only two artists who actually submitted a song from a public selection and was selected by RTP from that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he's a bit more of an up-and-comer.
Very cool.
So, yeah. Very organic, and I like that one a lot, too.
The other one I wrote down, and the instant reaction YouTube video things also seem pretty high on this one. It's Dancing in the Stars by Neve, N-E-E-V. I don't know, it looks like Neve. It's just a really nice ballad. I can see that one doing fairly well as well.
Fans seem to be liking that one a lot, too. Again, it's one of the ones that's also fully in English.
That definitely helps.
It's a bit too sad and saccharine for me personally.
Even as a Portuguese entry?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's impressive.
That's saying like something, I know.
It's like a cake covered in another cake. It's just too much. Portugal, you're great. This is always one of the funnest ones to just dive into and check out, because you never know. I was hoping Throws in the Shine would be back. They were not.
You don't really get a lot of repeat artists at the Festival de Canção, to be honest with you.
Really?
No, it doesn't seem like it. Every once in a while, you'll see them coming back as songwriters, but not as the singers themselves. It's interesting to see, which is cool because you always get introduced to new artists and different artists.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a constant refresh. You never know who you're going to see.
Has Salvador come back as a songwriter at any point?
No.
Even I think that guy's
would
like to be as done with it as he can be.
The closest that he came was he got to hand select an artist for Festival de Canção 2018. So he got to pick, like, Salvador was able to pick an artist that got a fast pass to the show, which he picked a friend of his named Janeiro, who had this great song.
Nepotism.
Hey, you know, he kind of earned it.
And yeah. how did said friend do?
Pretty well. The song was called Sem Título, which just means untitled. But it was a very sort of chill, introspective, you know, man with guitar, but just very, very cool. One of my favorite songs from that national final, actually. I'll have to look and see how well it did, but I want to say it did well and it made it to the final of the show. But yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'd love to see Luisa come back, honestly.
That would be nice. Yeah. She deserves another shot.
Yes.
When did the shows start for FDC?
They start on February 20th and 22nd are the two semifinals, with the final scheduled for March 6th.
Oh, so they're coming in right at the end.
Yeah. As far as we can tell, that's the same night as Denmark and Estonia and Italy selecting their songs. So,
well, that'll be a fun day.
Oh, yes.
That's why Italy runs so long, is they make sure that all the fans are done watching all the other semifinals or finals or whatever. So there's only one thing left to watch, and that's 8 more hours of San Remo.
How courteous of them.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Samantha here. Just as a heads up, we wanted to put in a little bit of a content warning before we go into our segment discussing the songs for Finland. We wanted to incorporate this content warning. We will be discussing themes of mental health and suicide. So if you are not comfortable
with these themes. If this is a trigger for you, feel free to skip ahead. If you feel that you need help, feel free to reach out. If you're an American, reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, or feel free to reach out to us at 12 Points from America. We are allies.
I think the only country that we haven't touched on that's on our list is Finland. And since our last episode, we've had the last two songs released, including a beautiful Finnish language ballad by Ilva, which I actually rather like, and a song called Dark Side. Folks, what are we thinking now that we have all the full fleshed out listing for Finland?
Well, I have some thoughts on one of these in particular. I still have the vibe that Danny, not our Danny, Finnish Danny,
yes,
has more of a shot than people think. The feeling of it is there. You know what I mean? Like yeah, it's just really, really impactful. I could see it resonating. I want to say Finland is, I might be getting this mixed up with another one, but I want to say it's 75% public vote, which may lean towards Blind Channel's Dark Side, since they're kind of a big thing there. And I need to talk about Dark Side for a second, because a lot of people are really, really excited about this. And I can see why. Musically, it's very different from anything we've had in a very long time in Eurovision. It's a lot like Bring Me the Horizon, or a band like that, a bit of rock, screamo. There are so many different, like slight different genres in that sort of music. So I hope screamo is close enough to give you an idea. It is a song about living with reckless abandon, to put it generously. But here's the thing. There's a line that's repeated a number of times that goes, like the 27 Club headshot. I have a very serious issue with glorifying suicide. And that is straight up what this song is doing. I think it's really, really problematic to romanticize the idea of blowing your brains out when you're 27, or that you just shouldn't care if you live or die. There has been music like this for a long time, and I don't think it's unrealistic to say that lives have been lost because of ideas like this being made cool or whatever. And as somebody who has struggled and does struggle with suicidal ideation and with self-worth and that sort of thing, this really, really bothers me. Like, I get why people like the song. It's wild, it's crazy. It would be a pretty nuts thing to include at a Eurovision. I think I said last week, we need more rock. This is more rock.
Maybe not this.
Saying stuff like this, and I think maybe some people just don't realize it, it's problematic to romanticize suicide. And it's a difficult thing to talk about. I don't know how else to explain this. And I feel like I'm just being like,
no, I completely understand. If you don't mind me stepping in,
I'm kind of at a loss for words, please.
No, I kind of wanted to let you speak your piece. I didn't want to step on any toes. It's a really difficult balance when you're trying to be a rock act and trying to sort of be edgy, if that's what you're trying to accomplish. And you have to be careful. I don't want to be puritanical about this. I feel like artists should be able to express themselves how they wish to express themselves. But at the same time, there's also a responsibility. It's a really, really insensitive thing, in my opinion anyway, to do something like this. When you are lobbying to be the representative of your country, singing on behalf of your nation in front of potentially an audience of hundreds of millions, like, we are talking more than the Super Bowl here, you have to understand that there is a massive audience of people who might be better served by not hearing glorification of suicide. And maybe I'm being oversensitive, but I'm very much in Eric's camp on this. I find it interesting that we have this discussion now, and yet we're also having, in the same national final, as we spoke about last week, the song by Axel, who's talking about the real emotional toll that last year's competition took on him, and looking at issues of mental health from a very, very different angle. That, as we see Blind Channel, you know, potentially throwing it all away, Axel is performing it in a very different point of view. And I would prefer to focus on him.
Yeah, they really are polar opposites. And it's crazy that they're going to be going up against each other. And it really kind of terrifies me. The whole thing lyrically is super edgelordy. Also, like,
yeah,
it's
into account that this is also like you know, the screamo, like, this seems like very, wow, this really is music for edgy 14-year-olds.
Yeah, they talk about, you know, middle fingers up and this and that. Like, I get that it's their thing. It's the style. It's what they go for. And it does speak to people. I was a depressed teenager once, you know, like, I get that part of it. But there cannot be this glorification of ending your life as part of that discourse. It really, really can't. And again, is it puritanical? Am I just being too woke or whatever? I don't know. I don't really care. I really think this is messed up, and it really weirds me out how many people are fawning over this because of the message that it's sending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just, I don't know.
So needless to say, we're rooting for the Teflon brothers. Is that what we're saying here?
I feel like that's the happy medium. All right. for sure.
All right. Well, again, reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter, 12pointsUSA. Love to hear from you. And again, if you feel that you need help, feel free to reach out to us. Feel free to reach out to either your national or your local mental health or suicide prevention line if you need it. You have support with us. You have friends with us. You are friends of the show. So we care. Everyone all right?
Yep. Now that that's off my chest, let's talk. Oh, we're out of stuff.
We're out of countries.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, why don't we just look forward to the stuff that we've got coming up over the next couple of days? By the time that this show airs, which is normally on a Friday, the 30th of January, we have our first semifinal for Lithuania. Done with the heats, into the semifinals. We have the third semifinal over in Norway, and we have our grand final in France. We actually get the French returning to a full-on national final. We've got some great songs in that lineup. So that starts at 21:05 Central European time. Eurovision France, c'est vous qui décidez. It's you who decide. It's not quite as catchy as Panda Bomb, but
it's not, it'll do. But what
they're working
can you
on
do?
It. They'll workshop it.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have the grand final for Lithuania the following week. So we'll, I guess we'll regroup.
Regroup, more like. The group.
So why don't we regroup around our Zooms? Maybe this time next week, give or take?
You'd better. I'll be around.
Sweet. I'm not going anywhere. Just me and my pie. That's not a euphemism. I still have a lot of pie left.
Ah.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice, Derek. You're just jealous.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. We're going to keep this weird while we play the music. But until then, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday. Nice.